again looking at this theme of a new way to walk, gentleness. Webster's Dictionary defines gentleness in this way: noble, chivalrous, as a gentle knight, generous, and kind. Benjamin Franklin said this about gentleness. He said, "I will speak ill of no man, not even in the matter of truth, but rather excuse the faults I hear, and upon proper occasions, speak all the good I know of everybody." You know, it's amazing that many times we are so quick to talk about someone's faults. It seems that it's a lot easier to even speak in a negative way about someone than it is in a positive way about someone. That's just seemingly how we are bent, if you will, to speak. Gentleness, we could also speak in such a way of the word kindness. When we think of gentleness, is a fruit of the Spirit that many times will have a lot to do with whether or not our Christian testimony is received or rejected. Now, if you've come to Anchor Baptist for any period of time, you know that the Bible is the sole authority for our faith and practice. Meaning, we want to preach and teach only the Word of God. We should believe in the Word of God. We should have faith in the Word of God. And when somebody challenges the Word of God, we should stand on the Word of God as it is God's Word, written by God to be believed and obeyed. We should preach the gospel unashamedly. We should share it truthfully. We should not water it down. We should not make it weak. It should be exactly what it is. However, there is a way in which we can present the gospel that God working through us, that yes, it is in a strong way. It does not have to be in a caustic way, nor does it have to be in a sense of anger. Whether we can find gentleness in the world or not, we ought to find a spirit of gentleness in the local church. Why? It's a fruit of the Spirit. We just read it. Which means today, if you are a born-again child of God, you have the ability, and I have the ability, to be a man of gentleness and to be a lady of gentleness. Let's give you that thought one more time that I said a moment ago. Gentleness or kindness is the fruit that will have a lot to do with whether or not my Christian testimony is received or rejected. Again, preach the truth, preach the gospel, but that doesn't mean that we have to be a mean ogre while we're doing it. We should allow the Holy Spirit of God to present in us, to create in us this gentleness fruit. So let's take a look at several things, and we're going to go to another passage in just a moment. First, let's look at our supreme example. Number one, the gentleness of Jesus. The gentleness of Jesus. Go with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 117. Psalm, chapter 117. Psalm 117. Verse number one, we read there, "O praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us." Think about that, the kindness of God toward us. And I know we've said this several weeks, but this is a holy God being gentle, being kind to sinful man. Are you following that? A holy God being kind or gentle to sinful man. What we're talking about today is that when we get through with this, we want to be able to be gentle or kind to another sinner, just like us. God is holy, and yet He's gentle and kind to sinners. We want to be, as a sinner, gentle or kind to other sinners. Verse 2, "For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Let's see letter A, the character of Jesus. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 2. We're looking at the gentleness of Jesus. Again, we see the example of all of these fruit of the Spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect example of every one of them. We should be following His lead every step of the way. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 21. The Bible says there, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled," notice, "reviled not again." That's not the easiest thing to do. The flesh, when we are criticized, when we are reviled, when we are spoken against, the last thing we want to do is be quiet. The first thing we want to do is give it back times 10. We want to take whatever was just given to us, repackage it, put it in a bigger package, don't put any wrapping paper on it though, and just send it right back to that individual. That's how we're geared in the flesh. The Bible says here, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. It says when He suffered, He threatened not. Boy, when somebody criticizes you, when somebody is attacking you, do you know what we want to do? We want to return the favor. We don't want to get mad, we want to get even. I'm not sure that's in the Bible, okay, just so you know. It's not in the Bible. When He suffered, He threatened not. Let's keep reading. "But committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." We see the character of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, we see the compassion of the Lord Jesus. We see it in two different fashions. There's probably many other ways, but for our outline today, we see, look over, please, if you will, to Titus. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. In Titus, we see that he offered compassion by offering us salvation. Now, we've been singing about it. Rescued a sinner like me. We've been preaching about it, teaching, talking about it. Prayed about it a couple of times. If you're here today and you say, "Pastor Turner, if I died tonight," nobody has plans to die tonight, but we don't know when we're going to die, do we? But tonight, if you were to not wake up, you were to go to bed and not wake up ever again, the question must be, would you be in heaven or don't you know? You don't know that. Jesus Christ came to offer us something. Look what it says in Titus chapter 3, verse number 4. The Bible says, "But after that, what's the next word? Kindness." Kindness. Again, this is perfection. Offering kindness to completely imperfect people. It says He offered kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward who? Toward who? Man. Thank you. Kindness of God, the love of God appeared toward man, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, verse 5. You've read that before. But according to His mercy, He what? What did He do? Saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us, how much? Abundantly through the Lord Jesus Christ, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The point is here we see that the compassion of God, compassion of the Lord Jesus, and His example of being, of His example of kindness, His example of gentleness, was that He offered the sinful man redemption, salvation, forgiveness forever. Notice what else. Look over, please, if you would, at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, regarding the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 2. You see, not only does he offer us salvation, but this compassion of the Lord Jesus leads us to repentance. God doesn't lead anyone to hell. God doesn't want anyone to be in hell. Now, there's people there today. Think about that. Hell is real. As real as heaven is, so is hell. Someday, hell and the devil and his demons and all those that have rejected God's love are going to be cast forever into the lake of fire. Read the end of the book of Revelation. Right now, they're in hell, but eventually it's going to change a little bit. It's still punishment. They're going into the lake of fire forever. Folks, forever never stops. You may have someone that you love, and you may have someone that is close to your heart today that they are not saved. They are lost and undone. They need Jesus. Well, I want you to know that the compassion of Jesus is leading them to be saved, to repent. Look what it says in Romans chapter 2, verse number 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, amen, that God is good today. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God is leading people today. His compassions, they fail not. Great is his faithfulness. Turn over quickly, if you would, to the gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. We're looking at the example, the gentleness of Jesus. We saw letter A, the character of Jesus. Letter B, the compassion of Jesus. But, you know, I want us to take a little bit of a side detour, a little bit of a detour here within the gentleness of Jesus. God brought me to this passage of Scripture in this preparation, and I've read it many times, and I probably you have too, but it really jumped out at me at the character, the gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ, but at the same time, standing for truth. Look at Luke chapter number 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus and his disciples, they're heading toward Jerusalem. Verse 52. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Verse 53. And they did not receive him. The Samaritans, the half Jew, half Gentile. Here comes Jesus and his disciples. Here comes the group, and they're heading to Jerusalem. They're on their way to Jerusalem, trying to go through a Samaritan village on the way, and the people of that village did not receive him because he was on his way to go through their village to Jerusalem. Think about this. How many times have you and I taken the gospel to people and we've told them the gospel from you're a sinner in need of a Savior, you deserve to die and go to hell according to the Bible, Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, and the only way is to accept God's gift of eternal life. We take them through the Romans Road, we take them to John 3:16, and we share, I mean, we pour out our heart and we give them the gospel. Or sometimes we meet someone who doesn't even let us get to first base. We can't even, I mean, we just say, we're from the church. I'm not interested. Bang. And that's the end of it. We knock on the door, or we meet someone, or whatever. We talk about God, and we've said this before, and God conversation is quite all right in 2018. But as soon as you start talking about Jesus being God, now you've entered into another territory. Jesus is God? Sorry, we don't have anything to talk about. There's no difference, in my opinion, than you and I going to a lost world and the lost world rejecting the message. And I'll have to be the first one to raise both hands that there's sometimes my flesh gets the better of me, and I think this, I may not say it, but I think this, well, how dare you reject the opportunity I'm giving you to be saved? Like it's about me. If you know the rest of the story, you know where we're going. How dare you not listen to me? Because if you don't listen to me, you're going to hell. You know, even as a pastor, 18 years pastoring, I have to admit to you that there's been times when I just wonder, why didn't that person get saved? I mean, the message was given, the truth was presented, etc., 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 and we take our eyes off. It's God's business, not mine. I'm the deliverer of the message. Here's Jesus being rejected. I can't hold a robe to Jesus. Jesus wants to go through, and the Bible says they did not receive him. Verse 53. By the way, not everyone is going to receive Jesus. That doesn't mean we don't tell them. Not everyone is going to believe. That doesn't mean we don't warn them. We warn them because we love them. Especially those who bear your name, or those who are your cousins, or those who are your family. You tell them about Jesus. Why? Because you love them and you're sincerely concerned for their soul. Verse 54. This is what I would do. I'm kind of like one of those sons of thunder. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, Mark 3:17 refers to them as the sons of thunder. James and John, they see, you're rejecting Jesus? Do you not know who this man is? They didn't say that, but I'm just kind of giving a little extra info there. We know that they got bent out of shape over it. They definitely did not have the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in this moment of gentleness. And you'll see it. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Hey, Lord, would you like us to do an Elijah miracle? They asked that right there. Hey, Lord, how about we call down fire and just, boom, they're gone. Again, before we get all over James and John, I'm sure that all of us at times have maybe not to that degree, but we have bristled at the idea that someone would treat Jesus in that way. But verse 55, we find a completely different response. But he turned and rebuked them. You know what? This is what stood out to me in preparing this next phrase. Ye know not what, and here it is, manner of spirit. I would underline those words or circle those words. Manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I wrote this down. Jesus rebukes these men, James and John, in verse 55, and gives them this phrase, and it just captivated me. Manner of spirit, manner of spirit. It means their attitude, their feelings, and actions toward others was wrong. They had a bad spirit. They were not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to bring gentleness into their life. Gentleness does not equal compromise. But I'll tell you what gentleness definitely does not equal. It doesn't equal, well, let's just kill them if they're not going to let us pass through this village. Let's just call fire down and kill them. Because Jesus said, hey guys, come on now. I did not come to destroy. I came to give life. You know, I got to thinking, when we read our Bibles, many times we need to read above and below, don't we? And so let's just do that. We're going to work our way through this today. We'll just go in as far as the Lord wants us to. Let's go up to verse 44. Same time. Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them. They started to have a conversation amongst them. The disciples started to talk to one another. They were trying to figure out something. Which of them should be what? Greatest. And as soon as I read that, I thought, you know what? Bang, right there it is. That's exactly why the sons of thunder said what they said later on in this passage. It's because when Jesus said, you know not your manner of spirit, they had just got done having a conversation about who's going to be the best? Who's going to be the greatest? When we get to heaven, who's going to be, you know, in charge of it all? And Jesus, perceiving their thought, took a child, verse 47, and set him by him and said, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, he that is least among you all is great. I submit to you today that these disciples had a wrong spirit. They had a bad spirit because the root of it all was pride. And the reason why we aren't gentle sometimes, the root of it all is pride. How dare you not listen to me? How dare you not listen to the gospel? No, it's not about us. Jesus, do you want me to call down fire and can kill him? No. You got it all wrong, guys. I came to give life. Yes, Jesus stands for truth. And yes, he is for truth. And yes, we should be for truth. But we see in verse 46, this verse shows us the frame of mind that the disciples were in. How easy is it for a wrong spirit to make its way into the church and into our homes? Why? Because pride is so powerful. And God help me and God help you today that we follow the example of Jesus. And his example was so much of compassion. His example was of to give life. Ezekiel chapter number 33, verse 11, the Bible says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. They're just going to all die and go to hell. Is that really the spirit of gentleness? I don't think so. If God himself says, I don't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, we better make sure we never have, and I'm trying to be just totally, completely to the other side that you realize it's to me that's a joke. You know what? There are people today that are thriving on YouTube preachers that preach just like that. They thrive on the death of the wicked. They thrive on people going to hell. And they'll even tout it and say that they hope they go to hell. And they call, and this one particular preacher calls himself an independent Baptist. Folks, that is not a spirit of gentleness. And that is not the spirit of God. And how many spirits are there? Two. Evil and good. So if it's not good, it must be evil. When a holy God says, I do not glory, I do not have pleasure in the death of the wicked. I love what he says, though, in Ezekiel 33:11. I know I didn't give you time to turn there, but it says, but that the wicked turn from his way. Oh, what is God hoping today in your life if you're lost? He's hoping that you turn from your way and come to Christ. He's hoping that it goes on to say that he turns from his way and live. God wants the wicked. God, and you say, well, I'm not wicked. I'm a tax-paying Canadian. I'm not wicked. I don't do this. I don't do that. Folks, I'm not saying the level of sin. It doesn't matter the level of sin. If you've rejected Christ as Savior, you're going to the same lake of fire as everyone else. God doesn't want you there. He wants you to live eternally in heaven with Him. It says, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? The context of that is a message to the people of Israel. But I believe the application can be applied to everyone here today. Turn ye. Folks, if you're lost and without Christ, don't turn and go out this door. Turn and come to this altar and say, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, save me today. That's what He wants. Jesus is not hoping that you leave here and die and go to hell. That is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is full of His wrath is coming, yes. Right now, He's holding back so that you can be saved. Don't reject the gentleness of God. We see the gentleness of Jesus. Number two, we see the gentleness in our lives. The gentleness in our lives. God's Spirit wants to infuse gentleness into my life. God's Spirit wants to infuse gentleness into your life. Letter A, through sensitivity. Through sensitivity. Allow me to just give you several thoughts that I've written down. We can learn verse after verse after verse after verse, and we should. We can have all the Bible convictions that we want about this and this and this, and we should. We can stand for truth. And by the way, we must stand for truth. This is not the time to cave in. We must stand for truth. But a mean, caustic spirit does not make someone more spiritual. We can stand for truth and have the love of God flowing through us. We can stand for truth and have the mercy of God coming through us. Remember, it is the gentleness of God given to a sinner. We're talking about now the gentleness of a sinner giving it to another sinner. If gentleness is not found in my life, the above statements will have little impact on those I influence. Did you hear that? I'm not saying we have a mean-spirited church. I don't think we do. By the grace of God, I believe that God has created in this church, and we want it to continue, and we only want it to be greater, in a greater capacity. But you know what? We can learn all the Bible, and we should, and we could stand on this and do that. But look, there must be a sensitivity to people's needs. Well, you know, I learned all the verses that I needed to. I've learned all these verses. Yes, but gentleness is somebody who also looks around and sees someone is in need. What can I do? You know what? That's great that you know 50 verses of the Bible, but how about we let the Spirit of God help us to give some a little bit better vision to look around to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and who can we show some compassion to? Philippians 2, 4 and 5, you're there, I'm sure. By now it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what? Of others. We can be so encapsulated with our life, and so encapsulated with our problems, and so encapsulated with our whatever, and yet God is trying to bring people into my life, and through sensitivity we need to be able to say, you know what, I want to pay closer attention, I want to be more sensitive to the needs of others, I want to be more gentle. Through sensitivity. Letter B, through sympathy. Romans 12:15. The Bible says there, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Again, I'm following the leading of the Lord as we continue through these fruit of the Spirit, and I want you to know from my heart to you today that as God has continued to allow us to continue to work through these, that there are areas of my life where I need more gentleness. I can tell you one area of my life, and that is this. I just get so caught up in me. And I don't mean that in a sense that I have to have everything I want and need, but my life gets revolved around my 10-hour day or 12-hour day, and sometimes I have no sympathy for anyone. And sometimes even I come home and I don't even have sympathy for my family. Oh, I don't think I'm an ogre. You think I'm an ogre? No. But sympathy towards those that we live with. Sympathy towards those that we worship with. Sympathy, can't even speak. Sympathy toward those that we sit by. Again, we all kind of congregate and sit a lot of the time in the same section, don't we? We're very much creatures of habit, but I wonder if we stopped the service right now and I asked you to tell me something about somebody, two or three people in the row in front of you and behind you, would you be able to do it? Maybe we need to be a little bit more aware of these things. That to me is the area of gentleness in the area of sympathy. One more. We see the gentleness of Jesus, number one. We see the gentleness in our lives. But then, number three, we see that we are influenced to gentleness. We are influenced to gentleness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. Letter A, we see that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are not going to be gentle Christians without being filled with the Spirit. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm so thankful for people in my life that have stood for truth, but I'm also thankful for some of those same people that I would look at them as men and women and say, they exhibited gentleness in their walk with God. And that's what I'm striving for. We are empowered by the Spirit. We should be influenced to gentleness, number one, in our homes. In our homes. A little 5-year-old boy one day was playing with his 2-year-old brother when the 2-year-old brother reached up and yanked his older brother's hair. The older brother screamed in pain and his mother came rushing in. He cried and said that his younger brother had pulled his hair. We can all relate to that maybe at some point. His mom said, well, you don't understand. He's only 2. He doesn't know what it's like to have his hair pulled. You can almost imagine where the story is going now. The mom left the room, and just a few seconds later, screams came from the bedroom once again, only this time it came from the 2-year-old. She rushed in and asked what had happened, which the 5-year-old explained. You said he didn't know what it felt like. Well, now he does. And in a humorous way, that is very funny, it is, but in a serious way, that is exactly how sometimes we find ourselves treating our husband or our wife when they haven't been gentle to us. You don't know what it feels like, honey. I've got to give it back to you. I don't find that in the Bible. You see, a spirit-filled Christian, and I'm not using myself as an example 24/7, but a spirit-filled Christian swallows, takes a deep breath, maybe even prays real quick, and says, Lord, I need your help right now because I'm about to open my mouth and insert my foot. And I don't want to do that. I want to be gentle. The flesh says, let me pull your hair. You just pulled mine. You know what? It's husband-wife relationship. It's parent-child relationship sometimes, maybe not to that degree. It's brother-to-brother in Christ relationship. Why do we always feel like we have to pull their hair too? That's what the enemy wants. Our Savior wants us to be gentle and realize, well, you know what? I've not been the perfect spouse. I've not been the perfect brother in Christ. I've not been the perfect example of gentleness. They've had a tough day today. Whatever, I don't know. But instead of pulling their hair too, maybe we need to be gentle and return that offense with gentleness. We are human beings with powerful emotions. And these types of things will happen. But a gentle person realizes how the things they have said might have affected someone else and will quickly seek to apologize, seek to make amends, seek to gain the self-control that will prevent such outbursts in the future. In other words, we have to ask ourselves this. In the home, how would I want to be treated? I think we would all say, I want to be treated in a gentle way. If I mess up, I don't want to be hollered at. You burnt the toast again. That's kind of way down here. Hopefully we're beyond that. That's what I'm saying. How would I want to be spoke to? If that's a spoken to. I don't know what's the right English there, but you correct me later. Gentleness in our homes. Gentleness in our community. In our community. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. The Bible says, quickly, I'm trying to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening. The Bible says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, if any man have a quarrel against any, regardless of the relationship, even as Christ, what, church, forgave you. There's no sin that cannot be forgiven. With the exception of rejecting the Holy Spirit of God to be saved, assuming, taking that one and setting it to the side, it is obviously the most serious one. But every sin except that can be forgiven by God. That means whatever it is you're holding, withholding forgiveness for someone else today, it's pretty petty. And it needs to be dealt with. It's not an example of gentleness. So also do ye. Jesus gave a great example of a man at Bethesda, a woman at the well. And again, we could go to those passages, but we don't have time. But one more place, and I've kind of touched on it already. Influence to gentleness. We are empowered by the Spirit in our homes, in our community, in our church. In our church. We have nothing but, one usher said to another, we have nothing but good, kind Christians in this church until you try to seat someone else in their seat. We don't have anybody like that. When we see someone doing something wrong, do we have our club out ready to bash their heads? Like James and John? Do we have our rock out? He that is without sin, cast the first stone. I believe that was what Jesus said. Or instead, is our notebook out with ideas of how to help someone overcome a sin? Let's just write them out of here. No. It's not gentleness. Let's handle it biblically, whatever the sin is, yes, but how can we help them? If it were you, what would you want? I think you'd want gentleness. Getting these pictures in my head, in our heads today, often makes me aware of a lack of gentleness and will eventually, instead of reaching for the club, I pray that we reach for God's word. This word of God will help a wayward sinner. It will help someone who, yes, they've wrecked their life with sin. You know what? Christians wreck their lives with sin all the time. That doesn't mean we just turn our backs and say, well, sorry, you messed up. Need a spirit of gentleness. Yes, to speak the truth to that individual, but to lovingly help them in whatever area of life they need it. I'm so thankful that God was gentle to me. I'm so thankful that God gave me salvation. Letter B is there. I'm not even going to. Letter B, I'll just give it to you. We are encouraged by the testimony of Jesus. Ephesians 4, 30 and 32 talks about forgiving even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You're here this afternoon and you're not saved. You, if you die without Christ, the Bible says you will spend eternity in hell. That's the truth. You will have to walk over the love of God to do that. You say, Pastor, I don't even know what it means to be saved. In a minute, we're gonna have a piano player come over here. We're gonna pray. You say, you know what? I'm 50 years old. I've been in church many times, but I'm not saved. Don't let pride cause you to leave. Humble yourself, sir. Humble yourself, ma'am. Come down here this afternoon and say, I want to get saved. Or, tell me more. We don't push you into anything. We'd love to tell you more. Husband, wife, teenager, single man, single lady, Christian, brother, sister, is gentleness lacking in your life? Well, it is a fruit of the Spirit, which means if it's lacking, it's not God's fault.